Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are we going?
Good.
Good. I love that praise and worship this morning. It was wonderful praise and worship. I love the events coming up, including the men's events, and also looking forward to the nachos this afternoon. Very much looking forward to that diner. Over the past 30 years, I've worked in forestry, and during that time, I've mainly worked on sandalwood. And we should have a picture of a sandalwood tree on the screen right now. Quite a nice-looking tree growing near Payne's Find, which is about 450 k's northeast of Perth. WA sandalwood is a small tree or shrub, grows to about 4 to 5 metres, has sparse, irregular spreading branches. But one of the main characteristics of sandalwood is that it produces valuable aromatic oils in its heartwood. And these oils can be extracted and used in perfumes, soaps, cosmetics. The wood can also be carved to make ornaments or powdered for joss sticks or incense sticks. It's a very valuable tree. And over the years, I've worked on growing WA sandalwood plantations on farms in the medium rainfall region of the Wheatbelt and the Southwest, which has been really good. But I've also been lucky enough, I've been blessed enough to work out in the rangelands, the semi-arid regions of the state, in the goldfields and the Midwest. Out near places like Kalgoorlie, Menzies, Wiluna and Payne's Find. I just love being out in the rangelands, in the red dirt country. You know, it still feels a bit wild, still has a bit of a raw edge to it, which I really like. And, you know, out in these dry regions, we still harvest sandalwood, but we also plant sandalwood seeds back in the ground again to help regenerate the species. And there should be a photo now on the screen of some sandalwood seeds. The seeds are round, they're about 2 centimetres in diameter, and we normally plant the seeds before winter using machines, but we also hand plant using picks and things like that. But in these dry regions, you often don't get enough rainfall, enough rain in autumn and winter for the seeds to germinate. Due to the low rainfall, it's not unusual to go for 2 or 3 or sometimes 4 years without getting many sandalwood seeds to germinate. In March this year, I was out with one of my work colleagues, and we were planting sandalwood seeds near Payne's Find, about 450 k's northeast of Perth. And the day we're out there, this was in late March, and the day we're out there, it was really hot, really, really hot. It was hot and muggy. It was over 40 degrees. And the guy I was working with, he said, "John, this is crazy. What on earth are we planting sandalwood seeds in this heat?" And I had to agree with him because it was pretty crazy. It was hot. And this guy I work with, he knows I'm a Christian. And he said to me, he said, "John," he said, "last year you prayed to God for rain and we got hardly any." He said, "John, last year you prayed to God for sandalwood seed germination and we got none." And he said, "What was the good of that?" And I turned around to him and I said, "It's not too late. It's not too late." And right there and then, I prayed out loud. I prayed to God. I gave praise to God and I prayed for rain and I prayed for sandalwood germination. And amazingly, about 15 minutes later, this black cloud came over where we were and it started to rain. And I turned around to him and I said, "That's answered prayer. That's answered prayer." Amen. Answered prayer. And he started laughing and I was laughing and it was really good. It wasn't that much rain, but it was just enough to cool things down. I reckon the temperature dropped by about 10 degrees. It was answered prayer at that moment. And, you know, it was cloudy that day, but there hadn't been much rain forecasted. And that night we stayed at a place about 20 k's away called Thundalara. It's a good name, isn't it? Thundalara. And we had a bit of thunder that day. And at the station, I spoke to the park ranger. There was a park ranger at the station. And I asked him, it was only 20 k's away, I asked him, I said, did you get any rain today? And he said, no. But he said, I saw some black clouds going to where you guys were. And he said, did you guys get any rain? And I said, we sure did. I said, we sure did. We got answered prayer today. And the guy I was with, again, he laughed. And I just think it's so good. It is so good to witness for God. And in fact, we are called to witness. It's great to show people your faith in God, your belief in God. It's also great to show people your passion for God, your enthusiasm for God, because we serve a good, good God. And we have good, good reason to be enthusiastic. Amen? Amen. Now, that little shower we had that day, that wasn't enough to start sandal germination. You need a lot more rain than that. But you know what? As most of you here have probably noticed, this year has been a good rainfall year. And this year, the rain's been pushing inland too. It's not just been happening in Perth, but it's been pushing inland. And we've had good rains in April, May, June, July in the rangelands. And again, that's answered prayer. I just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers, our prayers. So I'm expecting to see good sandalwood germination when I go out this year in the rangelands. And I'm looking forward to going back to Payne's Find in October to check on the sandalwood germination. And can you just show a picture of some sandalwood seedlings? That's what I'm hoping to see when we go back in October. Lines of seedlings in the red, or lines of seedlings coming up through the red dirt country, through the red soil. And you know what? I'll let you know how it goes too. I'm sure you're all interested to find out. And when we go back in October, I'm also looking forward to seeing the whole countryside after the rains. The desert regions transform. They're transformed after good rains. They go from looking harsh and dry to looking lush and green. The whole landscape changes. The way the desert transforms after good rains is also used in the Bible as an example and illustration of the blessings that come to God, to come to those who believe in God. In Isaiah 58, verse 11, the prophet Isaiah said, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen, he will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." Amen? It's good news. If you seek the Lord, he will guide you and lead you, even in a dry, sun-scorched land. He will bless you. He will satisfy your needs. If you seek him, he will strengthen you. He will refresh you so that you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and glory. You are a good, good God. Lord, we thank you that you truly satisfy us. Even in a sun-scorched land, you refresh us and you meet all of our needs. Lord, I pray that what is said this morning is from you, and I pray that you speak through me, and I pray your anointing on this morning's message. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Another example of water being referred to in the Bible is when Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman about living water in the book of John, chapter 4. And you might recall Pastor Pamela also preached about the Samaritan woman at the well last week. So I think there might be a bit of a theme happening at the moment. Anyway, in the book of John, chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples were heading from the region of Judea to in the south of Israel to the region of Galilee in the north of Israel. And to get there, Jesus took the direct route through Samaria. Now, the Jews generally didn't take this direct route because they despised the people who lived there. They despised the people who lived in Samaria, the Samaritans. At the time, the Jews thought that the Samaritans were unclean. They thought they were half-breeds. So the Jews generally took a detour. They went along the long way around Samaria to get to Galilee. But Jesus chose to go through Samaria because he was going to bring the good news to a Samaritan woman and anyone else who was willing to listen. You see, Jesus doesn't discriminate. He doesn't discriminate against race, skin colour, sex, or age. Jesus loves all people, hallelujah, and makes salvation available to anyone who chooses to believe in him and follow him. Travelling through Samaria, Jesus and his disciples came to Jacob's well, not far from a village called Sychar. They got there around midday, and Jesus was weary and he was tired from the long walk, so he sat down by the well. You know, although Jesus is God, he also humbled himself to become man. As God, he could never become weary or tired, but as man, he did. By Jesus becoming man means that he can relate to what you're going through. He can relate to your pain. He can relate to your struggles. And he can relate to when you just feel tired and weary. It's good to know, isn't it? Anyway, his disciples decided to go into town to get some food. But Jesus stayed by the well. And while Jesus was at the well, a woman came down to get some water. Now, this was a bit unusual for a woman to go down to the well at midday, the hottest part of the day. But maybe she did that because she felt like a bit of an outcast. Maybe she was ashamed of her sins and didn't want other people to see her. But Jesus saw her and he asked her for a drink. Now, the woman was surprised by his request and said, "You're a Jew. I'm just a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jews don't associate with Samaritans. But in John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The living water Jesus is talking about is not physical, it's spiritual. Jesus is talking about all the blessings, the refreshment you receive when you welcome him into your life, when you put your faith in him. But even though Jesus is standing right in front of this Samaritan woman, she initially failed to see him as God. She also failed to understand his words. She could only think of literal water and said to Jesus that, you know, he had no equipment to draw up this living water, especially because the well was so deep. Apparently Jacob's well is about 40 metres deep. I think back in the 1930s, it's still there today. They checked how deep the well was. In John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus then said, "Whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." You know, in life you can try and seek pleasures and satisfactions in earthly things, and I know I have, but those things just don't quench that spiritual thirst inside your heart. The only way to quench that spiritual thirst in your heart is through Jesus. Whoever drinks of Christ's blessings will never thirst again. Hallelujah. Not only do Christ's blessings fill your heart, they also overflow into eternal life. Jesus said, the water I give them will become in them a spring welling up to eternal life. It's a good image, mental image. When the woman heard of this marvellous living water, she wanted to have it, but she was still thinking literal water. She said, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water. But then Jesus changed the conversation. He said to her, go and get your husband and come back. Now, the woman was a bit taken back. She was a bit taken back by what Jesus said. And then she tried to cover up her sin. She said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands and the man you're with now is not your husband. Now, the woman at the well was living in sin. She was living with a man that she wasn't married to. Before this woman could be saved, she needed to acknowledge her sins before God. To be saved, you must confess. To be saved, you must come to Christ in true repentance and confess your sins. Jesus knew about her sinful life, but he was going to lead her step by step so that she could see it for herself. Only those who know that they are lost can be saved. After hearing her whole life laid out before her, the woman realized that Jesus was no ordinary man. But at this stage, she only thought that he might be a prophet, you know, or a spokesman for God. The woman then asked Jesus another question. She said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem. And in John chapter 4, verse 21, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Jesus was letting the woman know that with his coming, God no longer had a certain place of worship. From now on, those who believe in Jesus can worship God anytime and in any place. Hallelujah. In John chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus then said, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Jesus rebuked the Samaritans' form of worship. It wasn't authorized by God. He also said that salvation is from the Jews, meaning that the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, would come from the Jewish nation. And the only way for anyone to be saved is through Jesus. Jesus also said to the Samaritan woman that God is spirit. And true worshippers must worship the Father in spirit and truth. They're the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. See, the Jewish people had reduced worship to outward forms and ceremonies. Their form of worship was focused on religiously trying to follow the letter of the law and by going through certain rituals. You know, they might have been bowed down on the ground, but their hearts weren't right with God. It was outward, not inward. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to come into your heart. God is spirit, and he seeks people who worship him in spirit and truth. In John chapter 4, verse 25, the woman replied, you can see it starting to tick over in her mind. And the woman replied, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. As the woman listened to Jesus, it made her think about the coming of the Messiah, which had been foretold. And she had confidence that when the Messiah came, he would teach all things. And in John chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus declared to the Samaritan woman that he is the Messiah. And by saying the words, "I am," Jesus also used one of the personal names of God, "I am," used in the Old Testament. In John chapter 4, verse 28, the word says, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman came, went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him." Now, the woman left her water pot behind, which was quite symbolic, very symbolic. That literal water, which seemed all important before, now wasn't important because she had received living water through Jesus, the Messiah. Hallelujah. She not only left her water pot behind, but she went straight into town and spoke out loud that this man had told her everything she'd ever done. Could he be the Messiah? Now, you just got to put that into context. This woman was probably well known for her sin and shame. She probably kept a very low profile in that community. But here she is standing in the middle of the town telling people about the coming of the Messiah. She had been transformed. You know, I reckon the townspeople would have been shocked. I reckon they would have been shocked to see her acting so differently. I reckon they were so impacted by her transformation that they stopped what they were doing and took off looking for Jesus. In John chapter 4, verse 39, the word says, "Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. 'He told me everything I ever did.' So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world.'" Hallelujah. Through her witness, through her testimony, through her enthusiasm, through her amazing transformation, people believed in Jesus. After listening to the woman, many also decided to go and listen to Jesus for themselves, and then they got saved. God works in different ways to bring people to himself. But one thing we are called to do is to witness for God. That witnessing by that Samaritan woman was amazing. It was so powerful. It was simple, but so powerful. People could see that she was transformed. People could see that she was impacted by her encounter with Jesus. Through her words and through her actions, people believed in Jesus and got saved. Witnessing is so important. And you can witness to people in so many different ways, like through your personal testimony, through speaking the word, through your faith in God, through your actions, just the way you live your life. But anyone here who has witnessed a bit before can probably knows that it's not all, people aren't always receptive to believing in Jesus, and they can be quite resistant. But I encourage you to keep witnessing and don't give up on people. Never give up on people. You know, some people just take a bit longer to believe than others. At the beginning of my sermon, I talked about planting sandalwood seeds out in the rangelands, and that we frequently don't get enough rain for the seeds to germinate. But during those droughts, during those dry years, I don't give up on the seeds. Because I know that the seeds can still germinate in the second year, or in the third year, or in the fourth year, sometimes 5 years later. The seeds can stay dormant in the soil, just waiting until they get enough rain to germinate. Yeah, it's the same with people. Your family and friends, they might not believe in God during this season, but that might all change next season when the rains come. Don't give up on your family and friends. Just keep praying for them. Keep believing for breakthrough. Amen? Another characteristic of sandalwood seeds is that they have a really thick seed coat. And if you can show that slide of the seeds again. Thanks. The seeds are about 2 centimetres in diameter, as I was saying before. And in the centre of the seed is a white, soft, edible kernel, which it tastes all right, but I wouldn't rave about it. Some people are right into them, but I find them okay. But surrounding this kernel is a very thick, hard seed coat. This seed coat is like a brittle shell, which you definitely don't want to try and crack with your teeth, because you're more likely to crack your teeth than to crack that seed. And sometimes the seeds require a lot of rain, a lot of water to soak through, to penetrate through that hard, thick shell, to reach the kernel, to germinate the seed. And again, I think in life, we can be very similar. Over time, we can develop a hard, thick shell around ourselves, due to sin, due to painful experiences in life, due to disappointments, due to regrets, due to mistakes, and due to unforgiveness. We can build up a thick layer around ourselves. And over this time, this thick layer can be very hard to penetrate. You could say that the Samaritan woman had a thick layer of sin, of shame, of disappointment around her heart, around herself. And when Jesus spoke to her, initially she was quite resistant. She had many questions. But Jesus didn't give up on her. He just led her step by step until eventually the goodness of Jesus soaked through that hard, thick exterior, and she received living water. She received God's blessings. She received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Saviour. When she did that, she was immediately transformed. When the sandalwood seeds germinate, they break away from that hard shell. They transform into a seedling, and the seedling grows into a tree full of aromatic oils. And it's a bit like us. When we transform, when we welcome Jesus Christ inside of us, we suddenly become sweet-smelling because we have Jesus Christ inside of us. Jesus took away her sin and shame, and she was set free. Hallelujah. She became a new creation. Just keep witnessing to people the good news of Jesus Christ through your actions and through your words. It might take a number of attempts, but over time, the goodness of Christ can soak through that tough exterior of people. I know he soaked through my tough exterior. I was very much a cynic and believed in evolution and different things, but God's goodness soaked through my exterior, and I've been transformed through Jesus. The world we live in can feel spiritually dry, like a desert. But deep down, I believe that most people have a longing, a spiritual thirst in their hearts that just can't be quenched. It cannot be quenched by earthly things. The only way to quench that spiritual thirst in your heart is through Jesus Christ. The only way for you to break free from the layers of sin and shame around yourself is through Jesus Christ. The only way for you to be saved and received eternal life is through Jesus Christ. No other way. Jesus said, if you receive the water I give you, you will never thirst. Jesus said, the water I give you will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Choose to receive Jesus Christ into your life. And also choose to let people know about the life-giving, life-saving, life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Be a witness for God, like that Samaritan woman, and don't give up on people. You know, as I said, some people take longer to believe than others. Your family and friends, they might not believe in God during this season, but that might all change next season when the rains come. Don't give up on your friends and family. Just keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Keep believing for breakthrough. Let them know about Jesus, because the good news of Jesus Christ is just too good for you to keep to yourselves. Amen. Be a witness for God. Amen. Before I pray, could someone please turn on the lights? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time this morning. We praise you for your greatness and your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the living water you provide, the blessings, the refreshment we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. You truly satisfy us, Lord. Even in a sun-scorched land, you refresh us, you meet our needs. Jesus said, if you receive the water I give you, you will never thirst. Jesus said, the water I give you will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, you might be here today and you've never received Jesus Christ in your heart before, but deep down, you might have a spiritual thirst in your heart that just can't be quenched by earthly things. The only way to quench that spiritual thirst in your heart is through Jesus Christ. If that's you, if you want to receive Jesus Christ in your heart today, I encourage you to put up your hand and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see your hand. I see your hand. Yeah, you might feel spiritually dry, and today you just want to make a decision. You want to make a decision for God. The water which Jesus gives truly satisfies. Whoever drinks of Christ's blessings and mercies will never thirst again. The only way to be forgiven, the only way to be saved, the only way to receive eternal life is through Jesus. So if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus Christ in your heart today, I encourage you to put up your hand and I'll pray for you. Thank you. I see your hand. You know, it might be an opportunity for you today to recommit as well. Maybe you felt you've drifted away from God. Maybe you feel dry in your life, spiritually dry, and you want to be refreshed. You want to receive those blessings from God and to tell God that you believe in him and you follow him. So if that's you also, please put up your hand and I'll pray for you. Thanks. I see your hand. See your hand there. I'll just give you a little longer. Anyone here who wants to receive Jesus for the first time, or you want to recommit to Jesus, put up your hand and I'd love to pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the people who put up their hands this morning. And I just pray that you bless them and protect them. And everyone who's put up their hand this morning, please, and everyone else who believes in Jesus, and you know what, if you're watching online this morning as well, and you've put your hand up, or you believe in Jesus, please pray along with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I am sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for the life I've lived. And I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he shed his blood on the cross. And he died for my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I welcome Jesus into my heart. And I make him Lord and Savior over my life. I'm going to follow him for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, everyone who put up your hand this morning. I'm very excited for you. You've made the best decision you could ever make in your life. You now believe in Jesus, and you have received Jesus, and you have eternal life. Hallelujah. Now, I also encourage you to go and tell people about Jesus as well. And I just pray God's blessings and protection over you. And now, if you're here today and you didn't put up your hand, or if you're watching online and you're thinking about becoming a Christian, I just encourage you to do it. I just encourage you to make that decision. You may have a spiritual thirst in your heart. The only way to quench that spiritual thirst is through Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to welcome Jesus into your heart, make him Lord and Saviour over your life. Now, if you haven't come to that decision yet, but you want to know more about Jesus, I encourage you to speak to Pastor Pamela or me or one of the elders after the service. And I just hope you all enjoyed the service this morning, and I encourage you to be bold in telling people about Jesus, bold as that Samaritan woman. Amen. Amen. Please stay behind for fellowship and delicious nachos. And I just hope you all have a wonderful week, and God bless.